My SBS today is How Godly Unity is Achieved. Sounds almost impossible, doesn't it? Godly unity is achieved. How is godly unity achieved? And my basic point might sound a little bit irrelevant to you, but and it's a big subject. But if you think about it, it's probably the most important point in achieving unity in the Church of God. Before I get into some of the points that I'm going to make, let me ask you several questions. Is it true God wants us to abide in His Word? I should have read John chapter 8. Verse 31 and 32 first, and it says, Christ is quoted as saying, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So reading that, my first question is, does God want us to abide in his word? My second question, is it true that abiding in God's word means we are obeying it? And my third question is it true that God wants us to think? And my last question, is it true that thinking requires asking questions? Now, those four questions are a blinding flash of the obvious. They are true. There's no doubt about that. It is true. And since God wants us to think, and thinking requires asking questions, let me read Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Some of you might be familiar with the scriptures in Mark there. And one of the scribes came to Christ, and having heard them being the Sadducees and Christ, reasoning together, so they're thinking, they're discussing, and perceiving that he, Christ, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? I think we're familiar with that scripture. So there was thinking, and there was reasoning, and there were questions being asked. And this man came to Christ and asked the question, which is the first commandment of all? I think we all realize what that scripture says, but let me read what Christ said. He said, the first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And then the scribe said to him, You are right. Teacher, you have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then Christ said, he saw that he answered wisely. He said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one answered or asked him questions, referring to the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think we all realize why the scribes and the Pharisees didn't ask any more questions. Before the scriptures that I read, he made it very clear that they did not understand the scriptures. So, what has this got to do with unity? Well, another question. Is it true that we all come to the same conclusions about everything? That's also a blinding flash of the obvious. I think with your best friend, with your spouse, there's going to be disagreements, aren't there? It's just the way we think, it's just the way we are. And Christianity and life itself is about connection. It's about relationships. And over the years, I've heard, probably a half a dozen ministers from the pulpit talk about how the Church of God, now the Church of God, let me just back up, the Church of God, to my knowledge, is the only church that has the truth in the doctrines, in the sense that I'm talking about. The Sabbath, the annual holy days, dietary laws, the plan of God, that this is not the only time of salvation. Church of God has that truth. But over the years, I've heard at least a half a dozen ministers from the pulpit talk about how the Church of God, and we heard this just recently, 2 weeks ago, Tim Pebworth kind of alluded to it. The Church of God has tended to prioritize doctrine over relationships. And I think if we've been around a while, we can agree with that. It's a little easier to agree on, let's say, the fundamental doctrines than it is to have good, strong, healthy connections, relationships. It's just human beings are a complex species. Human beings are incredibly complex. And to have that relationship where we can disagree on certain things and still be unified is a tough thing to do. Very tough to do. Let me read another scripture, Matthew chapter 23, verses 6 through 10 in the King James Version. And Christ, again, is speaking of the scribes and Pharisees. And it's in verse 6, again, speaking regarding the scribes and Pharisees. And they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. And neither you be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. You know, we're all just people. And, you know, this morning I was reading, didn't really read the article, but I kind of skimmed it, an article about from the Catholic Church referring to these scriptures, and they had explanations for why you can't take those verses literally. And if you know anything about the Catholic Church, this church has been around a long time, and they've got a lot of smart people in that church. Believe me, I've never been to a Catholic church, but they've been around a long time. They have very intelligent people in that church. And essentially what the article was saying is that, well, you know, there's a number of scriptures that talk about being teachers. And there's a number of scriptures that talk about, like, for instance, Abraham being our father. And so they reason around these scriptures. In a somewhat reasonable way, but they're really twisting scripture. It's not the context that Christ was talking about, not at all. And Christ was talking more about an attitude than actually the words themselves. He was talking about an attitude. And again, we're all just people, and people have a hard time realizing that we're all brothers and sisters. We're all siblings. Even Christ is our brother. Even Christ is our brother. And yet, our human nature, our carnal nature, it just loves to feel superior. It just does. Too often. And we have to realize that God wants us to look at each other as brothers and sisters and realize that our relationship is much more important than being right all the time. None of us are. None of us will be as human beings. We'll never be right all the time. And it's important to understand that and admit when we're, you know, when we're wrong, or maybe we're not sure about something. Admit that, hey, I think this is true, but I'm not sure. God wants us to be honest. And by being honest and realizing what honesty really means, you know, it doesn't mean that, I believe that, so it must be true. No, honesty is simply a reality. And so God wants us to realize that. He wants us to learn humility. He wants us to treat each other as equals in the way that I'm talking about. It's really important. Our relationships are much more important. We've seen in the world today where, I'll just mention in politics, we've got so much disagreement. So much disagreement. And yeah, there's good reason for disagreeing with the other side. But we have to learn to realize that, you know, people are people. And none of us come even close to the way God thinks. His intelligence, his imagination, his plan, all of that is way beyond our comprehension. And so he wants us to learn to realize you're just people. That's all you are right now. And realize that we have to come to unity and even maybe come to some reconciliation by being humble enough to realize that we don't have all the answers. And that's what God wants us to realize. He's not going to have anybody as a first fruit unless we've learned humility.